Wednesday and welcome back to Tay Learning. My name is Dani and there is no Olivia today. Unfortunately, Olivia did have a family emergency, so she is out today. So it's just going to be me, Dani, talking to you about something that I guess I find interesting and maybe you find interesting as well, because today we are going to do a very quick extra credit episode on the rap battle heard around the world, the Kendrick beef, as somebody called it on TikTok. I henceforth will now be referring to it as such, the Kendrick beef. But first, we have to do some housekeeping. First housekeeping is shout out to KJ Miller on TikTok. KJ made this incredible TikTok doing visual examples of exactly what's happening with this beef, and that kind of helped me structure out this quick extra credit episode. Number two, be sure to rate and review this podcast wherever you listen. If you write out a review on Apple Podcasts, that review could end up on the front page of TayLearningPodcast.com, which, speaking of TayLearningPodcast.com, right now and through the end of this season, this season three that we're in right now, you can get yourself Tipsy Swifties merchandise. So that's glassware and koozies, and it's really cute. So be sure to go pick up your Tipsy Swifties merch on our website. Additionally, in the description of every single episode since season three began, we're working through the backlog. Give us some time. You can find a little thing that says click here. If you click on that, it will open up the Spotify playlist associated with this episode. This episode in particular might be good for you to go listen so you can get some context. If you're interested in the Kendrick beef, you can listen to the playlist before or after the episode, help give you some insight. Think of it as your little Tay Learning homework. At least that's what we call our playlists. Before we get to the break, to give you all context about why we're here, why this conversation is even important to Swifties, we were name dropped, okay? Swifties were name dropped. These rappers have dragged Taylor Swift into their beef. So now we have to break down the beef. And with that, I'll meet you after the break.
This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th, and it's making me feel joy and sadness and anger, definitely some disgust,
Rose,
and I think a little fear.
Really?
But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel-everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, only in theaters June 14th. Get tickets now.
And we're back. So we were name-dropped the Swifties during what many people consider to be the fun part of the beef. But before we get into the beef itself, we need to kind of talk about the relationship that Taylor Swift has had with both of them. Drake first, all right? Drake and Taylor met in 2013, and just a very bird's eye view of their relationship, of their friendship. We know that they met in 2013, like I said. She went to his 30th birthday party in 2016, where they posted photos together. They did a collab advertisement for Apple back in 2016, where Taylor is on a treadmill to a Drake song. She falls. We've all seen it. But in Drake's version, he is working out to Bad Blood, which ironically, Kendrick Lamar features on the radio version, but we'll get there. Taylor in 2019 wore a Drake pin on her jacket in a magazine cover and then name drops him and I Forgot That You Existed with the lyric, "And my feelings more than Drake, so yeah." In the song Red Button, released in 2021, Drake sang the lyric, "Taylor Swift, the only N-word that I ever rated, only one who could make me drop the album just a little later." In 2022, Drake posted a throwback photo, presumably from his 30th birthday party in 2016, with Taylor and captioned it, "They too soft to understand the meaning of hard work." But he later deleted that post. Kendrick and Taylor, I couldn't figure out exactly when Kendrick Lamar and Taylor Swift met from my research, but Taylor Swift openly supported Kendrick's music in 2014 and in an interview with Rolling Stone said that his song Backseat Freestyle was her go-to jam of the time. Kendrick praised her, saying, "I appreciate Taylor Swift for supporting not only my music, but just the hip-hop culture. There's really no gap. It's music and it feels good." When 1989, the album went number one, Taylor posted herself lip-syncing to Kendrick with the caption, "I really wish I was best friends with Kendrick Lamar, and I'm not, and it makes me sad daily." Taylor and Kendrick publicly praised one another back and forth, until his album To Pimp a Butterfly dropped early in 2015. Taylor shouted it out, seemed very excited, as she should. To Pimp a Butterfly is a really good album. And then finally, after teasing the potential for a collaboration, Bad Blood featuring Kendrick Lamar drops right before summer 2015. It was the song of the summer, and they did reconnect to re-record it for 1989 Taylor's version around June of last year. So over the past couple of months, Kendrick and Drake have been dissing at one another through diss tracks. First of all, I am not an expert on this situation. I did an hour of research this morning, and I've been following it with my friends for the past week or so. There's that. Second of all, this is your trigger warning because things get pretty dark. They go after each other for some pretty bleak topics. So let's start off where it all starts off. Back in November of last year, on November 15th, Drake released a song featuring J. Cole titled First Person Shooter. And I'm going to pluck specific lyrics out of each of these songs that give us indication that it's part of the beef. And a lyric from this song where J. Cole dragged Kendrick's name into this was, quote, "Love when they argue the hardest MC. Is it K-Dot? Is it Aubrey or me? We the big three like we started a league, but right now I feel like Muhammad Ali." Doesn't necessarily seem like shade, but Kendrick seemed to take it that way because in a song with Future and Metro Boomin called Like That from March 22nd, so coming up on a couple months ago, Kendrick sings, quote, "Motherfucker, the big three, it's just big me." On April 13th, Drake releases the song Push Ups. The whole thing is a diss track. The whole thing, go look up the lyrics, but there is a lyric in here, and this is where we get dragged into this. Then we need a verse for the Swifties. This seems like a bad blood diss, right? It seems like he's going after Kendrick for releasing something, quote, for the Swifties. And then he continues with, "You ain't in no big three. SZA got you wiped down." So this is very much a target at Kendrick. On April 19th, Drake releases Taylor Made Freestyle. First of all, Taylor in the name, right? It's a whole verse about Taylor happening here. And a lyric I'm going to pluck here is, "But now we got to wait a fucking week because Taylor Swift is your new top. And if you bout to drop, she got to approve." Okay. All right. Very obviously, that's targeting him, saying that Taylor Swift controls the narrative with him. Again, this is crazy because we already know that Drake and Taylor have a positive relationship in the past. But the vibes that I've gotten from Drake and how he feels about Taylor up until now has been very much like frenemy vibes, but that's all speculation. On April 30th, Kendrick releases the song Euphoria. This is where you might have seen that iconic TikTok audio that's trending, the "I hate the way that you walk, the way that you talk, I hate the way that you dress. Surprised you wanted that feature request. You know that we got some shit to address." Euphoria, it's great. He comes right back at him. This is a very targeted dig. Things are starting to devolve and getting less and less fun. Kendrick then releases on May 3rd, 616 in LA, produced by Jack Antonoff. Who is Jack Antonoff? We know who Jack Antonoff is. He's one of Taylor's longest term collaborators. The lyric I'll pluck here is, "Fake bully, I hate bullies. You must be a terrible person. Everyone inside your team is whispering that you deserve it." So he's going in. It wasn't just one shot. It was a second shot at Drake. He's really trying to ignite this fight here. On that same day, it's a matter of hours, right? We were working with weeks. Now we're on a matter of hours. Drake responds with the song Family Matters. Drake name drops a lot in here. He name drops Pharrell, Rihanna, Metro Boomin, The Weeknd, a ton more. The lyric I've plucked is, "You write about fuck the big three, it's only big D, and there's video proof. Our sons should go play at the park. Two light-skinned kids, that shit would be cute. Unless you don't want to be seen with anyone that isn't blacker than you." He also accuses Kendrick of physically abusing Whitney, his longtime partner. Not but an hour later, Kendrick releases Meet the Grams, and this is where shit gets really, really dark. In my opinion, it's the best one that I've heard, but it's pretty bleak. In this song, Kendrick addresses Drake's mom and secret daughter with a question mark, by the way, because we didn't know about this, right? He calls him a pedophile, accuses him of hypersexualizing and making black women into kinks and fetishes rather than treating them as people. And he says, "Fuck a rap battle. This is a lifelong battle with yourself." That's how he ends the song. A quick note here about why Meet the Grams took the wind out of Drake's sails so hard was because it was released an hour after Family Matters. So Family Matters was like, oh shit, that's a gut punch. Only for Kendrick to release a song an hour later, basically saying, "You're predictable. I know what you're going to say. And here is my diss track that was already locked and loaded." The next day, Kendrick goes in with Not Like Us, where he once again calls Drake a pedophile with the lyric, "Certified lover boy, certified pedophile," which is a clear attack on Certified Lover Boy, which was an album by Drake a few years back. We're up to date with this last track by Drake, released on 5/5. So just a couple of days ago, Drake releases The Heart Part 6. In this song, Drake accuses Kendrick of projecting and that Kendrick was molested in childhood by pedophiles, which is why he is spinning this narrative on Drake just because he's projecting. Again, I told you guys, this was bleak. It's dark. And I know that when I'm speaking the lyrics, I sound like the whitest motherfucker in the room. That's because I am, okay? I'm not going to pretend to be something that I'm not. But we're going to go into an overview of exactly what's happening here. And KJ Miller, who I shouted out at the beginning of this episode for having a great TikTok breaking this down, said it best. There are three beefs at stake here: a rap beef, a cultural beef, and a personal beef. The rap beef, they're both very talented and they're both known to be regarded as the best in their game. They have different types of rap styles. Kendrick, he's known for intellectual, multi-layered rap. He almost speaks to you through the songs that he is putting out. He has 17 Grammys and a Pulitzer Prize, which honors achievements in journalism, letters, drama, and music. And it's the most prestigious award of its kind. So Kendrick is known to be this very intellectual, layered rapper who is trying to explain the story of Blackness through his very well thought out raps. Then there's Drake. Drake is known for being the earworm king. He has great flow. His music is sonically pleasant. And he is what I call an earworm hitmaker. It's his job to create stuff that's going to be commercially successful. He has 5 Grammys, which is not even a third of what Kendrick has. But he has a wild commercial success. He has far more number ones. And he technically competes at Taylor Swift's level for hits as of now. Although she is more universally beloved. We see that from tours and merch and sales. And she's an album artist versus a single artist. But people know Drake's singles. They might not know all of the deep cuts. They might not have heard all the songs that are not as popular on his albums as the way we do with Taylor Swift. But he is a wild commercial success. And that cannot be argued. That is a fact. And Kendrick is a wild critical success. Also a fact. At the beginning, this was just two really good rappers giving us really good music. This is a win for us all. But as these things tend to do, it devolved. Like we said, with the songs we went through, things got pretty bleak pretty quick. The second thing that KJ Miller in that video brings up is culture. And Kendrick, when he's talking about culture, he is talking about the Black experience. He raps about Black events, Black culture, and the Black experience, particularly in America. He is also from Compton. Drake, on the other hand, he is mixed and from Canada. And as KJ said, there's nothing wrong with being mixed and there's nothing wrong with being from Canada. But Kendrick's contention is that Drake likes to try on different aspects of Black culture purely for profit, which he goes after him in the song Euphoria about this. Drake does not agree. He argues he is not a culture vulture. He makes culture. He can't steal from culture if he's the one designing it. He decides what is culture. And he does that by being a dependable hit maker. This is where we come in. Like I said, there's the song where he specifically name drops the Swifties. And Drake is making an accusation here, saying, how can you judge the way I move, the decisions I make, when you do what you do to feed the Swifties, to feed Taylor Swift's fandom, to have her control your narrative? Again, this is a crazy thing to say from somebody who has had a decade-long friendship with Taylor Swift, from the outside at least. But he accuses Kendrick of being his own version of a culture vulture and doing stuff to appease Taylor Swift fans. So he dragged us into it. And this is where it gets personal. The third point. Kendrick accuses Drake, like we said, of multiple things. In least to most offensive, he accuses Drake of having gotten a BBL, being on Ozempic, using ghostwriters, which he's been accused of for most of his career. And that's actually not super uncommon in the rap community, although it's definitely frowned upon. No one would admit to that. Kendrick accuses Drake of having people in his own squad that hate him and even insinuate that they're the ones who are giving him fodder with which to come at Drake with. He also accused him of having a secret child, which is crazy, in Meet the Grams. And the biggest accusation of all, like we said, that Drake is a pedophile. Drake has accused Kendrick of mostly less offensive things. One, that he's short. That's a fact. He's 5'5". That he's a Swiftie. Probably also a fact. Don't see how that's a bad accusation, seeing that we're a Taylor Swift podcast. And then the big one, he accused Kendrick of hitting his wife. Well, partner, Whitney. So that brings us to the question of, where do we fall in this? Why do we keep getting our names dragged through this as Swifties? You can fall on whichever side you want to. My personal opinion, and this is also the opinion of KJ Miller, is that we should probably stay out of this one. We don't know any of these people personally. We don't know Taylor Swift personally. We don't know any of this. We don't know what's true and what's not. Now, if me, Danny, knowing what I know right now, had to pick a side, it would be Kendrick Lamar, because I have been a Kendrick Lamar fan for 9 years. One of my good friends, James, had me listen to To Pimp a Butterfly when it came out. And when I tell you that that was at that time one of the best albums I had ever heard, I still think it's one of the best albums I've ever heard. It is an incredible piece of work. He deserves the Grammys. He deserves the Pulitzer. So I'm siding with Kendrick because I feel like his accusations are a little bit more founded and well-rounded. But I don't know these people. This is just rap beef. It happens all of the time. You can side with whoever you want, but until anything is known, it's probably best for us to stay out of this publicly. Taylor hasn't said anything, and you know what? She's not going to. She seems to be on good terms with both of them from what we can see. Probably not the best idea to say anything at this point. So that is the Kendrick beef. That is where we're at. More might be coming in the next few days. Who knows? I certainly don't, but I am eagerly awaiting. Hell, by the time this episode comes out, I'm recording this on Tuesday, 5/7. So by the time this episode comes out tomorrow, 5/8, there might already be another diss track dropped. Who knows? Things are moving quite quickly at this point. Not in hours like it did last weekend, but still quite quickly. So as for what I-Tay learned this week, I-Tay learned that anybody will bring up Taylor Swift's name in one way or another to get clout. I mean, I already knew that, but this is just your reminder. As for what we're talking about next week, we really want to bring you a Dear Tay listener episode. That is what was supposed to happen this week. But again, unfortunately, Olivia could not join us. So we've decided to push that to next week. So we will hit you with that Dear Tay listener episode where we talk about using Taylor songs to get through making big life changes. And for me, someone who's about to make a really big life change here in a few weeks, I'm moving cities. I'm really excited to do this Dear Tay listener as well and use the songs that we help our Tay listener with to help myself. You can find us on social media. We are at Tay Learning Podcast on Instagram and TikTok. We are on Twitter at Tay Learning. Again, like I mentioned at the beginning of this very quick extra credit episode, our website is taylearningpodcast.com and you should pop on over there. You can send us an email, taylearningpodcast@gmail.com, or submit a form on our website. We hope you enjoyed listening to the Kendrick beef and we'll chat next week. These are not fun to record alone. I miss you, Olivia.